Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
Good Tuesday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. South Korea and Canada have reached a free trade agreement that the two governments hope will boost exports and investments. After more than 9 years of negotiations, the two countries today announced that they would remove tariffs on most goods within a decade of the pact taking effect. Canada agreed to eliminate tariffs on South Korean autos within 2 years of the deal being ratified. South Korea will reduce tariffs on Canadian beef over 15 years. Seoul currently imposes 40% tariffs on Canadian beef. It is Canada's first free trade agreement with an Asian nation. The Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development today says that the U.S. Federal Reserve should proceed cautiously in scaling back its asset purchase program while signaling its intentions clearly so as to minimize the impact on developing economies. The OPEC also warned that China could experience a sharp slowdown if there were to be more problems with debt repayments. The OECD slashed its forecast for annualized growth in the U.S. economy during the first quarter of this year to 1.7% from its previous estimate of 3% and raised its forecast for the Eurozone to 1.9% from 1%. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is trading 16,385. It's down 32 points. The NASDAQ, 1873, down almost 4. And the S&P 500 is 4328, down 5.5 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Just when you thought the winter season was finally wrapping up, another snowstorm is going to be working its way through the eastern and central parts of the region overnight tonight and tomorrow. The storm system is going to be driven by another round of bitter cold air coming southward out of Canada. This time, though, the path of the coldest air will be a little bit further to the east, passing through the Great Lakes region and into the eastern Midwest and eventually the middle and northern Atlantic coastal region. The temperatures will be cold enough that we will see precipitation that's expected to occur in the Midwest here tonight and tomorrow to change over to snow and become heavy at times. Travel conditions across the region from Illinois into Pennsylvania and southeastern Michigan are likely to deteriorate considerably. We'll likely see 3 to 9 inches of snowfall across some of this region with some local totals maybe over 10 inches. But a little word of caution here, it's all going to come down to how significant the cold air gets wrapped up into the storm system before the precipitation comes to an end. And at the moment, I feel fairly confident that there will be enough cold air push into the region tomorrow that we'll see the most significant snows occur. But I have to be honest, there may be less precipitation in a majority of the region with a heavier band of snow becoming more localized into a very narrow band. But we'll see what happens as time moves forward. Certainly the travel outlook right now is not very good. If you're flying anywhere or traveling by road from portions of northern Illinois over to Pennsylvania and Michigan, including the major cities of Chicago and Detroit, portions of Toledo, even over to Cleveland, Ohio, these areas will all have some issues with travel delay as we go through the day tomorrow in particular, but maybe late tonight as well. Outside of that, the moisture content in the storm system will vary from 2/10 to 7/10 of an inch, with some local totals maybe getting into the 1 to 1.25 inch range. That's enough moisture to raise that potential for some localized flooding once again when the snow melts later in the week. We do expect to see some warmer air return to the region briefly, but another round of cooling will also take place as we move into the weekend itself. The temperatures will turn rather notably cold behind this particular event. We do expect to see temperatures at maybe 20 to 30 degrees below average in some locations. The afternoon temperatures today will still be quite balmy across the Midwest, with readings in the 30s likely in the Great Lakes region, while temperatures in the 60s, 70s, and even a couple of extremes getting up over 80 degrees possible in the lower Midwest. And then as we go into the day tomorrow, temperatures will contrast dramatically with highs in the teens and 20s across the Great Lakes region and 20s and 30s in the Ohio River Basin. And then after that, we'll see the temperatures becoming a little bit more seasonable again, with a lot of 30 and 40 degree highs expected, and some readings possibly getting up over 50 degrees. We do think that the late weekend and early part of next week will bring on another round of cooling, and we'll likely see the afternoon temperatures on Sunday limited to the 20s and 30s across the northern parts of the region, with some 40s and some 30s occurring in the south. The lowest temperatures at night are going to occur probably on Thursday morning. We'll look for the low temperatures then in the single digits and teens across the Great Lakes region down into the Ohio River Valley area. Low temperatures tomorrow morning will be mostly positive and single digit readings up in the far northern parts of the Midwest, in the eastern Dakotas, Minnesota, and northern Wisconsin. Most other lows in the Midwest will vary in the teens and 20s west to the 20s and 30s in the east. We'll look for temperatures to start to rebound as we move forward through the remainder of the forecast period. But again, more cool weather will occur briefly late in the weekend. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Let's go ahead and see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter May wheat, 714 and three quarters, down 8 1/4. July, 708 and three quarters, down 8 3/4. Soft May wheat, 645, up 4 1/4. July, 650, up 4. March corn, 471 and a half, down 1/2. July, 481. Now 480 and three quarters, down 1 1/2. December, 477 and a quarter, down 3/4. March soybeans, 1417, down 2 1/4. July, 1392 and a half, down 1 3/4. November, 1180 and three quarters, are up 4 1/4. March soybean meal, 452.50, down 20. March soybean oil, 43.92, up 28. April live cattle, 144.42 and a half, up 127 and a half. March feeders, 174.32 and a half, up 62 and a half. And April lean hogs are now 118.20, and they are up 220. Joining us now on the telephone to talk about the markets is Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning.
I'm not quite sure I completely understand why I saw so much copy that said that the WASDE reports yesterday was extremely bearish for soybeans. The narrative was bearish, bearish, bearish. And I'm not sure the numbers really support that argument. What do you think?
Where'd they get the numbers? I don't know. The report did not tighten supplies as much as expected in the U.S., and the supplies in the world were actually enlarged, and it wasn't what industry was expecting on tightening, so they said it was negative. We do have plenty of beans in the world. We just don't have them in the U.S., South America. They left the crop size alone, which down the road later they will make smaller. But it's still a record crop in South America, and if we plant 5 million more acres of beans here, we'll have a record crop. So it's all attitude about what they expected and what they got.
Well, I look at our exports, and I see that we're right on pace to hit 1.70 billion bushels. I also see that if you look at the shipments, yesterday's shipments were really good again for soybeans, and if we hit those kind of numbers over the next couple of weeks, we would be around 1.5 billion bushels in through about Well, 29 weeks of the marketing year. That means we can't ship no more beans all the rest of the year.
Well, that's what the numbers say, but USDA in their wisdom said that, and other people have already said, maybe they didn't say, that China's going to cancel another 40 million bushels of beans from somewhere, and that will mean we use less beans, and Canada's economy's going down the tube, blah, 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 so they'll use less. And all that's thrown in there with the reality of the numbers, and they come up with something different. And if you look at the past history, anything below about 140, they call pipeline, and they just aren't going to lower it below there. There's people out there saying that the real carryout's around 60.
Hmm. Quick comment on corn. We have just a few seconds remaining.
Corn supplies are adequate around the world. We've got great exports here. They didn't tighten those as much as expected. They did not use as much exports as expected, and that helped push it lower.
Thank you very much, Pete.
Have a great one.
You too. Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. March corn currently trading 471 and a quarter, down three quarters. December, 477 and three quarters, down a quarter. March beans, 1417 and a half, down one and three quarters. And oves at 1182 and three quarters, up six and a quarter. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3 Urbana.